Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at hashtag Kangaroos or on Instagram at hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. So today I'm doing a mailbag show. Now, I put out the question last Friday, I believe it was, and maybe Saturday on Instagram as well. There's a lot of questions from all you lovely listeners. Yeah, a fair few. So I've got a lot to go through, so I might as well get started right away. So I'll start with Instagram. I've got a few questions on that. So, all right, we'll start with Bear Bum Bandit NT. Love the name, by the way, the Instagram handle. So he says, Clarko's game plan is traditionally requires high possession, a team that has high disposal efficiency by foot. Are you worried that even some of our best players are not capable of playing with that type of game style, meaning we would be the wrong side of some one-sided score lines again? I'm not too worried. I think Clarko's always adapted game plans throughout the course of his coaching career. He didn't always use the same sort of game plan. He always had the different ones each year. He always adapted because teams figure out pretty quickly. And, some years he did try, short possession and then, chipping it around. And then he did the old Clarko's cluster as well, or pressing high up. So he always adapted, and he's going to do that with North Melbourne over the next 5-6 years as well. He's always going to adapt because teams figure out pretty quickly. They watch you, they do tapes, and they can plan around it. So, game plans are always made to be changed. You always got to adapt to the game, and even you've got to adapt during the game and throughout the course of the season if you want to be successful. So I'm not too worried about that. I think he certainly made an effort to recruit probably players, like especially the Fremantle guys, have got a bit of skill about them, like Griffin Logue's a good user of football. Darcy Tucker looks like he's a good user of football. So, he was very big on players that could use a football. So, I'm not too worried about that one at all. So I'll go to the next one. Matthew Mills. So he's got two questions as well. What do we do with our current ruck jam? I can't see Larky, Comet, and two rucks playing in the same team. So what do we do? It's going to be interesting. Like Larky, Common, the main issue with Common is staying fit, and if he can do that, then we'll have no, then he'll probably be a walk-up start, I would almost think, in round one. And two rucks like Goldstein, and probably talking about CCJ or Tristan Sherry. I think you could play three in the forward line, but you got to be well structured. I don't think we can play, the three rucks like we did last year in round one. But I think you got to be, you got to set up really well behind the ball just in case for the counter attack. And there's got to be some sort of defensive pressure, especially last year when we really did struggle with the defensive pressure. Especially the ball would rebound out of our forward 50 quite quickly. So. I think you could play Larky Comben and probably CCJ, who I'm expecting to come back a little bit this year. I expect a bit of a bounce back year from CCJ after last year. Probably didn't live up to his expectations. So he also follows it up. So he says, love the show. Thank you, Matthew. What do you see as our midfield rotation this year? If you were to choose 7 players and no rucks. So I looked at this, LDU, Cunnington, Simpkin, Tom Powell, Taron Thomas. I expect a big comeback year this year. He'll probably rotate through the midfield and the forward line. George Wardlaw, I think he'll be a walk-up start round one as well. Not a walk-up start, but he'll get a game round one. And you're probably looking at maybe a Liam Shields, if he can get a game, or a Curtis Taylor as well, he can go through there as well. So, that's always going to be subject to change throughout the course of the year, depending on the injuries and so forth. Hugh Greenwood, is a player that's probably on the outer now. Will Phillips, he's coming back from... I don't expect him to be in a round one team, but probably, second half of the year, I expect him to come into the team. So we'll see how we go. There's plenty of options, which is really good. Nathan Granger asks, have you noticed Ben McKay has been used in lots of promo shoots? Hopefully announcement on a 5-year deal is imminent. Oh, look, that'll be nice, but the guy last year we used in a lot of promo shoots, the former first round draft pick, who I will not name on this show, left the club. So hopefully that's not a bad sign. But I did notice that he's been used in a lot of promo shoots, as you would say. So hopefully we can re-sign him to a long-term deal. So that's it for the Instagram questions. So I might as well go to the Twitter ones now. So I'll start with All Sports Considered. So this is a big one. When does Zeeble stand down as captain, and can he hold his place in the team for the season? I will be doing my best 22 probably. I'll probably even start, version one probably as early as next week, but I probably won't have Jack Zeeble in a round one team, to be honest with you. I don't think he'll be captain. I don't know if he wants to stand down as captain. Look, he's looking fantastic as far as physically fit, but geez, a lot of our players are looking fantastic as far as, physically, they really are standing out. All of them really at the moment. I haven't seen any one player that's doesn't look in shape really. They all look like they're in the best shape of their careers at this stage. I mean, excluding the first round players. So yeah, I don't think he'll be captain next year. I don't think he's going to stand down. Maybe he doesn't want to stand down, but I don't think he'll be announced as captain. I think Clarkson and the assistant coaches will have plans for him. And I don't know. I'll probably say he's not in a round one team next season. We'll go to Patrick Elwood. So he's got a few questions here. Will we run two rucks? So I think Goldstein and CCJ will be in a round one team next year. What is CCJ's role this year? I think he'll be mainly as a forward that will pinch it in the ruck. I think he gets a game ahead of Tristan Sherry, to be honest with you. But that's a close call as well. I don't want to write off Tristan Sherry. I mean, he was written off last season and found his way into the round one team, and he had a pretty reasonable first half of the year. What will Turner's role be under Clarko? Look, I think he's on the outside looking in. I mean, he was the last pick in our rookie draft, but I think he's, his best position, he's probably there's a lockdown defender. He's sort of run with play. He's not going to damage you up forward or anywhere else, but he's more of a lockdown player. But now that we've got, Liam Shields is probably has his defensive capabilities, Hugh Greenwood and Daniel Howell as well. I think he's really on the outside looking in now, so I'm not going to write him off just yet. I think it was this time last year we were pretty much writing off Lockie Young, and he had a fantastic year. So, yeah, I mean, I've probably been a bit harsh on him throughout the course of the season this year, Kane Turner, on occasions, but, I don't think he'll be in our best 22 for many games in 2023, because if he is, we're probably not progressing as well as we would like. Is Chom the missing link? I think he'll add another dimension. I mean, we've been crying out for him to play the last 2 years, and his body isn't holding up. So, yeah, look, I think he'll be a good foil for Nick Larkey, which we've really been desperately trying to find for, since Ben Brown pretty much left. So, yeah, we're certainly hoping he can have an injury free pre-season, and then go from, and then if he can, he'll be in the round one team and hopefully get some continuity in his body in 2023. Are there any expectations of the new game plan yet? There's always expectations. I'm not too worried about the game plan. I think, Clarkson's always adapted his game plan. I sort of mentioned that early in the first question, that he's always adapting to, to the team style, depending on their strengths and weaknesses. I think he knows, looking at a list, where his strengths and weaknesses lie. So he'll probably come up with a plan that will utilise that to the best of their ability. And it might take him, this year and next year to sort of really build a list the way he wants to build it and the way we want to play. But he's always going to adapt and adjust every season, pretty much during the course of games, Clarko. So there's expectations, but there's expectations on a new coach as well. Probably the best coach of the last, 20, 30 years. So, yeah, we'll see how we go. Billy Wordle. He asked best positions for Stevenson and Thomas. Stevenson, he was very successful on the halfback flank, but I probably like him on the wing half forward. I like him in the forward half of the ground. He just uses the ball really well. Very smart footballer. Very damaging as well in the forward half of the ground. That's where he's played his best football at Collingwood. And even for periods at North Melbourne. I remember that West Coast game over in Perth. Who could forget where he had 30-odd touches? And a lot of his possessions were sort of, in between the 50 arcs and, he's certainly inside the forward 50 as well. So I think he does his best work, even though we won't get the possessions that he got in the back line. I think his best work is on the wing half forward for 2023. Taron Thomas, I'm expecting a big bounce back year from Taron Thomas this season. He's looking very fit. He's looking very determined. He wants to be at the club. And I think his best position is midfield, but he'll be rotating between midfield and half forward, and he'll be very dangerous. So I think Clarkson's the type of coach that will get the best out of him. He'll have a plan for him straight away. He'll be talking to him and sort of, telling him that, these are the expectations we have of you, Taron, and this is the best position for you going forward. So, I'm looking forward to really seeing a bounce back year from Taron Thomas. To answer your question anyway, midfield, half forward. Lamar, that's 11 handballs. Just how many votes does LDU win the Brownlow by next season? So there's a magic round this season, isn't there? So 23 times 3, 69. You probably have to think the second place vote getter will get about 25 to 30, so probably by about 40 votes. All jokes aside, what do we make out of the Brownlow? I think the Brownlow is a bit of an overrated thing anyway. This is me, and this is just my opinion only. I never watch the Brownlow, to be honest with you. I think it's a waste of time. I don't mind, seeing the ladies and the guys dress up and all that sort of thing, but I don't pay too much attention to it. We've seen Jasmine Garner pretty much get best on ground in every game. She didn't get a vote in the first four rounds. I know that's AFLW, but I don't really pay too much attention to the Brownlow. I'll probably pay more attention to the best and fairest, to be honest with you. So, I hope that answers your question, Lamar. I don't mean to put a negative spin on it, but, I don't read too much into it. So, Shinboner at page underscore GMA. Hi, Dino. Should the football club look into travel packages for interstate games, flights and accommodation? We could still make the JHF game a decent event. Back in the day, we had Kanga Travel be proactive to get people to interstate games. I think they'll advertise it closer to probably the season. Oh, they will have travel packages. They usually do every season, so I don't think anything will change. I don't know if they have specials or anything like that, but the club's usually generally been pretty good, as far as I know, at trying to promote those interstate opportunities with travel and accommodation packages. And I'm pretty sure if you look into the membership as well, they do have things like travel packages like you're sort of asking for. So, Ian Barons at in Burns 1, so BRNS 1. Big fan of the show, Ian. So, how low of a bar do we reasonably set for a pass mark next season? Is it wins, a game plan, getting games into youngsters, reducing opposition inside 50s, being able to transition from the back half to getting our own scoring opportunities? Sounds cynical, but I'm very excited. Good to hear that you're excited, Ian. I mean, there's a lot to be excited about. So the pass mark. So is it wins? I guess so. Look, we'd want to improve and get 6 to 8 wins. I think that's a realistic goal with the list that we've got now. A game plan, yeah, look, we'd like to see some sort of game plan. I felt like it was lost under David Noble, in particular last season. I felt like we got a bit of a game plan going under Patch Adams, but he didn't have enough time to sort of implement his game style. But I'm glad he stayed as an assistant coach, as a forwards coach. So, getting games into youngsters, absolutely, 100%. We want to see continued growth with the Josh Goaders, Paul Curtis's, George Wardlaw, Harry Sheezel. Yeah, so we want to really see games into them. Yep, reducing opposition inside 50s. Yeah, we definitely want to play a forward half game. That's going to be a key to being able to transition from the back half to getting our own scoring opportunities. Yes. Yeah, look, that's another thing. Can we run and create from the back half and move the ball quite quickly on occasions or even slowly to get the ball back in our forward half and, win the inside 50 count. You know, the more times you get the ball inside 50, the more chance you've got of scoring. So, last season, we had plenty of games. What was the Geelong game? It was like a ridiculous 60 to 15 or something inside 50s. I can't remember. That's just going off the top of my head. So we certainly want to improve on that, don't we, Ian? So good question. Marty Allen. So how will the introduction of the two Hawks and the two Dockers play on the minds of the youngins like Goda, Bergman, Archer, Powell, Phillips? Will they be expected to be involved in another year of development in the twos? Look, I think you've got to have competition for spots. If you want to be a good team, the good players will always rise to the top. Josh Goda will get a game if he's good enough. Miller Bergman, he'll start in the twos. Jackson Archer, look, he looked really good in the seniors last year. So he'll be borderline first seconds come early in the season. Tom Powell, we really want him to step up this season into the midfield, as a rotation that can go forward as well. So, if these players are good enough, they'll get a game ahead of the Liam Shields, Daniel Howes, Griffin Logue, Darcy Tuckers. I mean, Griffin Logue has been brought in for, a needs base. None of those guys that you mentioned there are key position defenders. So, that's different. Darcy Tucker, if he's out of form and, Josh Goaders or Tom Powell's dominating in the seconds, then they'll get a game. Will Phillips, I expect a bit of a slow, gradual process. He'll do a full pre-season. I feel like this is almost his first year of AFL football. I know he hasn't, because he's lost, 12 to 18 months of development. So he's got to go back to square one almost basically, and he's still very young. I think he's only 20-21, so there's plenty of time for Will to grow, and he'll start in the reserves, get his find some form, find some fitness in the twos, play there for 4 to 6 weeks, and then he will get into the team. That's what I expect anyway from him. So we'll see how we go. He sort of also says, forgot to say thank you, Dean. Thank you. No, thank you, Marty. Thanks for the support. Love listening to your thoughts and podcasts. Keep up the great work. Merry Christmas, Ruse. We are all looking forward to 2023, 100%. So, definitely. So, Matt Robinson, another big fan of the show. So, with the appointment of Josh Gibson, now I'm going to talk about this because there's a few questions about Josh Gibson. Can there be any more fantastic news, or have we used it all up? I can't believe the team that we have in place and how good I feel about the club. Last 3 years has been the worst in my 45 years of sporting. Look, it's been tough. We've certainly had some dark times. I remember, early 90s, late 80s. It wasn't that much better. I mean, there was hope because we had a lot of those. We had a very young team back then. The baby. What did they call us back then? Did they call us a Baby Ruse or something like that? I can't remember what it was. We did have a very young Wayne Carey coming through and a number of others, Anthony Stevens and so forth. So, this might have a bit of a similar feeling to it. We've got LDU, Taron Thomas, George Wardlaw, Harry Sheasel. So this could be the next generation of the, you know, the Careys and all that sort of coming through now, and, you know, our best years. And with the right coach, we got Dennis Pagan back in 93, who took us to great heights. So we're certainly hoping that, you know, 2023 will be the 1993 of North Melbourne and start that era. I don't think we'll go to third like we did in 1993, but, you know, I'll certainly see us going up the ladder. So, yeah, no, it's very exciting times to be a North Melbourne supporter in 2023. So there's a lot more questions about Josh Gibson, which I'll get to soon. Luke at Luke 156130 26, which players will have biggest improvement under Clarko? I'm going to say my number one is Tarryn Thomas. I think he will bounce back this season. He looked a bit uncertain. You know, he had a lot of personal issues last season, which really affected him. A bit uncertain with his role as well. Wasn't too sure where he's at, what was his best position. But I think there'll be more of a clarity with his role under Alistair Clarkson. He's not going to play games with him. I think he'll be a midfielder, half, and rotating through the half forward flank. And I expect Aiden Corr, number two, I expect him to have a really good year this season. Just a bit more consistency. We've got Griffin Logue there for a reason now. He'll take, him and Ben McKay will take that key position post. And then Aiden Corr will be that third defender. Be that third man up. Help out the other two when they need it. Not that they'll often need it. Like, especially Ben McKay is one of the best intercept players in the competition and best one-on-one defenders in the competition. But, you know, if he can just nail down a role, and not be, because he's not good enough to be, you know, on the number, you know, number one, number two key forward. Yeah, we've seen that last season, but I expect him to, yeah, really bounce back this season. So, thanks for your question, Maddie. Go to the next question. All right, we'll go to, what are we looking at here? This is great podcasting, by the way. All right, we'll go to Daniel Powell. Big fan of the show, Daniel. Let us know how you obviously got a newborn, probably in the last month, I would guess. Let us know how you're going with that, if you get much sleep. So please, message me or whatever you want to do, Daniel, and just let me know how if you get much sleep and how the little bub's going. So his question is this the most excited you have been about the future of the club? How many years do you think will take to push for finals, top four, premiership? Do you think the LDU will continue his breakout season form in 2023? Who will be next? Who will be the next to have a breakout season in 2023? It's probably the most excited I've been for, geez, trying to think now. Yeah, it's probably been a long time since I've been this excited. I mean, you know, probably since, I remember 2001, before the whole Wayne Carey thing happened. That was, I was really getting excited because I felt like that was our real last chance when Carey looked really fit in the preseason. He even mentioned that in his book, how fit he was. I really thought that season we were going to challenge for a premiership, and then the whole Kelly Stevens affair happened. That really derailed it. But that was probably the most excited I felt about the club. Look, nothing against Danny Laidley. I thought she did a fantastic job, you know, but I never thought we were a chance to win a premiership. Brad Scott as well. I never really got excited under Brad Scott, unfortunately. Look, nothing against Brad, but I never thought, oh, geez, I'm really looking forward to this season. And David Noble as well, you know, nothing against those guys, fantastic coaches, but this is something different. This is something special. You can sort of sense it, you can sort of smell it with Alistair Clarkson. The standards have already risen. You look at them, and another thing is, you look at the social media and the players, how ripped they are, how fit they look. Even Nick Larkey said, geez, we're really looking fit this time as opposed to last year. So, yeah, look, so it's been 20-odd years since I've been this excited, but, really looking forward to it, Daniel. And please let me know how you're going with the little bub. Sam Catley. Dean, love the podcast. Thank you, Sam. Just want your thoughts on what you think the addition of Josh Gibson can do for the likes of Logue and Bonner. Look, I mean, there's a few questions about Josh Gibson, and yeah, a lot of talk about, well, he left the club to go to Hawthorn. Look, at the end of the day, I've got nothing against that. And I had nothing against that at the time. Look, he made a very, very successful career out of himself at Hawthorn. Got a three-year deal at Hawthorn for $850,000 a year. Alistair Clarkson approached him. He gave him a clear role. At North Melbourne, I don't know if you guys remember, but I think it was 2009 now. We lost our, Danny Laidley, I believe, just finished up. And we had Darren Crocker probably the last 6 to 8 weeks of the season, or second half of the year. I can't remember exactly how many weeks. But Darren Crocker put him in the midfield. I don't know if he liked it too much. I remember he got us. He was in the midfield and did a centre clearance and went the opposite way to watch which way we were going. So, yeah, I don't know if he liked that sort of role. And I think with Josh, Alistair Clarkson, he gave him a really good role at the club, and you know, became a triple premiership player. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, football is a business for these players as well. So I've got no problem if a player wants to leave. And this is very different to someone like Jason Owen Francis. You know, I mean, Jason Owen Francis, I mean, I can't really put it another way, but he took the coward's way out, really. Didn't want to work hard. Josh Gibson got offered a better deal at another club. Yeah, I know we gave him the opportunity, but yeah, look, at the end of the day, he brings a lot to the table as far as the way he played. Obviously, very smart footballer. Alistair Clarkson would just bring him in because he's a mate. He thinks he can offer a lot to someone like a Griffin Logue. It's just a part-time role. It's not going to make or break our club or Griffin Logue. He's just going to pass on some advice. And yeah, look, I think Josh Gibson is a good guy too, from what I understand. You know, he's a very likeable sort of character. He was very liked at Hawthorn. So, yeah, I think the way he sort of played the game is the way Alistair Clarkson wants Griffin Logue to play the game. Aiden Bonner, I'm not too sure about if you help him out. Bonus. It's a big year for Aiden Bonner. I don't think he's in a best 22 round one. But I only think Lachie Young was in the best 22 round one last season. He was fantastic. So I'm not going to write off anyone. So, yeah, look, if he can help those individuals out and just pass on, you know, a bit of knowledge from his own personal experience, then, you know, that'll only help the club. And I think a lot of people have got to get that past him, what he did at the club, you know, that he left the club, you know, 2010 for Hawthorn Football Club. And you can't hold against him. He was a triple premiership player, so, and it worked out beautifully for him. So it was the right decision. So I've got no problem with that. Benny. So he asked, can Comben submit a spot in the forward line this year? How does it work with Jacobs, Comben, CCJ, Sherry, and Goldstein? Look, I think two of the Goldstein, CCJ and Sherry will play, and then Comben and Larky will probably be the other two spots. And yeah, I think at this stage I'll probably have Tristan Sherry out of the team, only because I like CCJ. I think there's something there as a forward. I think he's a forward that can pinch it in the ruck. And I think 2024, if next season is Todd Goldstein's last season, then it's Tristan Sherry in the ruck. CCJ is a forward that can play in the ruck. I'm certainly not going to write him off. I think there's something there. We've seen it. You know, we've seen it at Richmond, and we've seen it in spells at North Melbourne as well. So we'll see how we go, I suppose. It's still very early days, but I expect a bounce back season, a good second half of the season. A good second year, I should say, for CCJ. So, Michael Dougherty, don't think it's the player that used to play at Adelaide Crows. Well, it's spelled different for one. So, anyways, I love the podcast, and thank you. And I'm really interested in people's thoughts on what teams we can realistically leapfrog in 2023. I'm not so interested in number of wins, but holistically, where will we be ranked post-season? So I'll go through the teams in, and I'll say yes or no. We can finish above them. Adelaide Crows. Okay, yes. Yeah, I think we can finish above them. Brisbane Lions. No. Carlton, probably not. Collingwood, no. Essendon, I think yes. Fremantle Dockers, no. Geelong, no. Gold Coast, I wouldn't think so. I think they're going to finish in the eight next season. GWS Giants, I think definitely yes. Hawthorn, definitely yes. Melbourne, no. Port Adelaide, I'm going to say yes. I think they're going to struggle. I think they're going to start off the year slow. They'll lose their coach. Jason or Francis will spit the dummy and play Sandful by about round eight. So I'll say yes, we will finish above them. Richmond, I wouldn't think so. I think Richmond are still a pretty decent team. St Kilda, yes, I think we can. Swans, no. West Coast, definitely yes. And Bulldogs, no. So how many teams did I say there? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So, yeah, I mean, you're probably looking at, what, 10th or 11th on the ladder? I don't think that's unrealistic, to be honest with you. So we can finish above those seven teams anyway that I did mention. So what have we got? Captain Obvious. CCJ the Enigma. Will he make it at North 2023 or 2024 when Goldie probably is retired? Yeah, I sort of mentioned that. Look, I'm not going to write him off. I think there's something there, like I sort of said before. I think he'll play as a forward that goes in the ruck. In 2024, if Goldie retires, and Tristan Sherry will be the number one ruckman. I did sort of mention that before in another question. But thanks for the question, Captain Obvious. He's sort of mentioned the Innes, Clarko, Viney, Ratton, Monkhurst, Gibbo, Linnert, Shields. So Linnert is VFL. He's playing VFL. He's recruited from Port Adelaide, a defender. He's just going to become a development coach in the reserves or something like that. I haven't read too much into it, so don't quote me on it, but something like that. Out, Noble, Uni, Rocker, McPherson. So definitely. All right. A couple questions here. Cameron Bennett asks, do we have to like Gibson now he's back as an assistant coach? You don't have to like anyone, really, but don't hold it against him. Like I sort of mentioned before, why he left and how he left. So don't hold it against him. He might be a very good coach. So, yeah, no. I mean, I don't think it's good to hate anyone, really. It's a waste of energy. So I'm sure you don't hate him personally. But, he's fine. Rue Sewitt sort of asked Josh Gibson, why? Yeah, look, I sort of mentioned those reasons before. So, yeah, you can go through that one again. So, Call Me Trinity, recruitment of coaches and staff amazing. Yeah, that's an extra comment. So, Paul, this is a Welsh supporter. Paul asks, how do you all cope with the six-month-ish break between end of regular season and start of next one? I know you may get a few supporters watching the women's team to fill the gap. Yes, I certainly did that. But to someone who lives outside of Australia, it seems like a long time between end and restart. It is a bit of a gap, but that's football. You know, football is very taxing. I think NFL is very similar. pardon me. They only play, 17 weeks of season and 4 weeks of playoffs. So, and then it's an off-season. But this time of year, I think cricket gets a big look in. It's definitely cricket season. I follow the NBA, so I'll get right into that. It's certainly good to have a bit of a break from football. It can be mentally draining, especially if your team has struggled to win for the last few years. So it's probably good to have a break. And this time of year is good because we're all hyped up and getting ready for round one and even February when the preseason games start. I mentioned Brett Shardy, who's been on the show a few times. He went watched training on Friday. He said Jack Zeeble's voice on the track stood out. His covering of the ground of fitness levels looks superior to other years. He does look very fit. We've talked about Jack Zeeble, so I don't know where he's at, but he does look good, but I don't think he'll be captain, and I don't know if he'll get a game round one. So Lamar Ask another question at 11 handballs. All things considered, with the makeup of a list, how many games do you think Wardlaw plays next season? I think you play about 18. I think he's a very good young, talented player, ready-made young player. I mean, if his hamstrings are okay and he stays fit, yeah, I think he'll play 18 games. Good attitude, hard at midfielder. So, yeah, no, he'll be a very good asset for this football club. So I'll just finish off Brett Shardy because I think Mark Hello, regular on the show, Mark Hello asked who else looked good at the training that he watched on Friday. So he sort of says Simpkin running was huge. LDU looked great. Of course he does. Aaron led his running group and looked strong in match sim. Who's Aaron? I'm trying to think. Combin moving so well and has put on some size, which is really good. But I left the track early with a hip issue. So, oh, God. So, hopefully he's all right. Hopefully it's just a precaution. So, we'll see how we go. And I'll finish off with Aaron. I think this is the last question. I've been talking a lot for 35 minutes, so... Yeah, it's catching up with me. I'm sort of struggling now. So it's been like 7 years. How come we haven't installed spongy floors to lure new recruits? I think that's going to change over the next few years. If we've got Alistair Clarkson, I think he's a big selling point to get the big name recruits. And I think getting recruits, you sort of have to be successful on the field. You look at Geelong. I mean, they're recruiting everyone at the moment, whoever they want, really. And they got that boy from the Gold Coast who's basically not getting paid any extra money to play at Geelong, and extended, you know, was gone to a 4-year contract. I can't even remember his name now. Is it Jack Bowers or something like that? Yeah, he was on, you know, what is it, 850,000 or something ridiculous over the next 2 years, and he decided, all right, I'll just extend another 2 years, but you don't have to pay me any extra money just to get to Geelong. So, you know, Jeremy Cameron obviously went to Geelong as well. So, I mean, even in the 90s, we did recruit some players when we started becoming successful on the field. Not huge name recruits, but Matthew Armstrong was a very good player at Fitzroy. Signed a 4-year deal in early 90s to come to North Melbourne to bolster our midfield. Keenan Reynolds, solid defender, like key position defender, was supposed to help out our defence. Didn't work out. But, yeah, he was a kind of a big-name recruit that came down. Lee Colbert, captain of Geelong, left them to come play with North Melbourne as well. So, you know, when we were successful in the 90s, players did want to come to us. So I think if we can start breeding success, and even Hawthorn, you know, like they got... they started getting some decent players when they brought when they started winning premierships. You know, Chad Wingard, a number of others as well. Jago Mira, yeah, I know these players. They're decent players at their clubs at the time. Like Jago Mira, besides injuries, was one of the best up and coming midfielders in the competition. So, yeah, you know, I mean. You know, I think success plays a big part in recruiting players. And I think the name recognition of Alistair Clarkson will certainly play a big part in that. That's it. Obviously, big news with LDU committing to the club till 2025. So that's a good little Christmas present for all the North supporters. So it's really exciting times. Daniel Pohl did mention me in a comment. So, yeah, shows... Yeah, I mean, we don't always have to recruit the big-name players, like I mentioned in the last comment, but we certainly got a very, very, you know, good re-signing. Probably the biggest priority outside of Ben McKay now that we want to get. So, yeah, it's good to get that. So that's obviously a very great, very good news on a day, you know, 6 days just before Christmas. So, yeah, that's fantastic. So anyways, that's it for me. I might be back later in the week. I've really got to finish over those last seven players, end of season reviews. It's been a couple of months now. I'm procrastinating. I've had a new role at work where I'm doing a lot more extra responsibilities, which is taking a fair bit of my time. So, which has made it a bit hard to do podcasts. I'll probably do that later in the week. I'll probably do one show next week. I'm already going to start the Best 22, my version one. Then I'll start getting people on, trying to get their Best 22 as well. Their version ones, version twos, version threes, and so forth till we get closer in the season. And we got more news. So, yeah, look, before you know it, you know, we'll be back into the, you know, in February, we'll be playing pre-season games. In March, the season pretty much starts. So it'll be here before you know it. So very exciting times anyway. So that's it. Like I said, I'll be back later in a week. Once again, thanks to all you lovely listeners as well for all the likes, retweets you guys are doing. If you guys retweet the show, I'll try and follow it. Who does the retweets, and I'll follow you back. That's all I can do at the moment. But I really appreciate all the comments you guys are doing to help the show. Even the questions I got you, all you lovely listeners sort of said you love the podcast, which is fantastic. And I love doing it for all you lovely North fans. So I really appreciate that. And like I said, I'll do a follow back if you do retweet the show. That's it. So today I will leave a shout out to Cooper Harvey. Bye for now.